The theme tonight is diligence. I enjoy just kind of doing little word studies from time to time, and this is not inclusive study on diligence, but just sections of scripture that talk about diligence and its relationship to different aspects of our lives. So this will be fun. Aiden's going to start us off. Come on up.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me all right? Good. All right, so jump right in here. I'm going to first read the verse that I was given, Joshua 23, verse 11. And it says, "Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God." I considered how I might talk about diligence out of this, and so I thought to give myself a bit of an advantage, I would read the whole chapter. And so the context of the chapter of Joshua 23 is Joshua is old and he's advanced in years, and so we assume that he's close to death, and so he gives one last message. He calls the nation of Israel together and he wants to give them one last encouragement. And so he talks about what God has done. He basically takes some time and he reminds them what the Lord has done for them. And then he even goes in to remind them of how they should continue to live according to God's expectation of them. And so right off the bat, when we come to verse 11, he says, "Therefore, take careful heed." Therefore, in that instance, is used as a because of or in instance to. And so you wouldn't start a sentence or a conversation with somebody, "Therefore, how's your day been?" It's not how we talk to people. If you're going to use that word, it's usually because you've given them some kind of information that then you give an instruction in regard to. And so I wanted to go back also a little bit further in Leviticus chapter 19. There are a lot of parallels in this chapter that I think Joshua brings out in his initial speech before he tells them to take heed. And I wanted to bring out a few of those for us tonight. Verses 1 and 2 of Leviticus 19. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' Verses 11 and 12. 'You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord.' And verse 31. 'Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God.' Verse 34. 'The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.'" And to finish off chapter 19 of Leviticus, Moses finishes, "Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord." And so I liked the parallels that I saw in Leviticus 19 as Joshua. Again, it's much shorter in Joshua's chapter 23 here. But we see that the expression of take heed or to heed something is to pay careful attention to it, to be attentive to what is being said. So you're not just observing something. You're not only observing something and paying it careful attention, but then what usually goes hand in hand with heeding something is an action. It's followed by a response to what is being heeded. So it's not just take careful heed that you love the Lord your God. They don't just observe the statement and carry on with their lives. Joshua is calling them to not only be reminded of what God has done, but to observe it, to take careful note of it, and then to respond accordingly. And so a little bit down in verse 14 of Joshua 23, he tells the people, "And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you." And I greatly appreciated Joshua's encouragement to the people, because not only does the Lord speak through Moses and Leviticus and give a very similar picture that this God that they're serving is magnificent and holy and great, But he charges them to take careful heed, to pay close attention to, and to then respond accordingly, to not just see it and, you know, then ignore it, because the opposite of heed is to ignore or to disregard. And so I guess what I appreciated is the definition of diligence is to do something, usually in a manner that shows care and persistent work. And so Joshua's exhortation to the people is to not only see what God has done and be reminded of what God has done, but to pay close attention to it and to continue to work that you love the Lord your God, to work at that with care and with close attention. Thank you.
Good evening again. All right. As you can see, I have Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. So I'll start there. 4:3 says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. But for context, I want to read actually 1 through 6. So we'll read it again. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the body and one spirit. Just as also, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I like reading this. I wanted to read this whole, you know, these other six verses for context. You know, we have here Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And so this is all, you know, it's all combined together. But when we see this in diligence, it's emphasized to preserve. We have to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So I chewed on this a little bit, and you know, I was thinking, okay, what is diligence? A great place to start, since tonight's the topic on diligence. And really, diligence is a constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Constancy in the performance of duty or the conduct of business, persistent exertion of body or mind. So it's something that's consistent. I think of something exerting yourself in a constant way, even if you don't maybe want to, or it's not exciting anymore, or it hurts. You're still being diligent in that and being consistent in it. It's not something, diligence isn't a one-time thing, okay? So what does this look like for the church? What is this talking about in us? We're talking about the Spirit and in peace. Well, why do we have to be diligent? Why do we have to have diligence to build these things? Really, because unity of the Spirit won't build itself, and it won't happen accidentally. We're not going to, oh, hey, we got lucky and have unity in the Spirit. Or it's just not going to happen. And so I thought of another passage, which I think really puts this all in perspective. Diligence in the church and building up. Is that consistently coming on Lord's Day and listening to the message in the morning and then having roast preacher for lunch? I mean, no, that's not building anything. You might be diligent in that, but it's not productive. Or being, you know, showing up once a month on potluck day. Please come on potluck day. But is that going to build in the church? Is that going to specifically build unity of the Spirit? No. So let's look at what the Bible says and what this would look like, and go to Acts chapter 2. This is right after people said, hey, what, we made a big mistake. What do we have to do? You know, Acts 2:38 tells us salvation. And then we see the formation of the church and what the church does. So in verse 42, it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Continually. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the church, guys. This is what it looks like. This is what building unity in spirit looks like. I don't think I've ever made it to 1 minute before. So this is our example. This is what we have to look at. Guys, is there anything in this list that we could work on? Is there anything here that we could do better at? When we do these things, it builds unity. And we have to be diligent in it. We can't say, well, I invited so-and-so over, you know, a couple years ago. I mean, that counts, right? No, I mean, it's something we've got to be, just because we did something to help build yesterday, we got to be looking for the next thing to build tomorrow and help each other out and get creative in that. I mean, these guys are helping financially. They were sharing their food with each other. They were there for each other. And that's what built that unity. And so I encourage us to do the same and find life in that. Thank you.
Good evening, saints. I have Proverbs 12, verse 24. Proverbs 12:24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor." So as often as we see in the Proverbs, we have two contrasting statements here. We have a positive statement that says the hand of the diligent will rule, followed by a negative statement that says, but the slack hand will be put to forced labor. So we're going to start out, we're going to look at the negative part of it first. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 24. Paul writes, "The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." The spiritual world is very black and white. You're either a Christian or you're not. There's no middle ground. That's what Paul's talking about here, is when you become a Christian, so you escape the snare of the devil. Because anyone that's in the snare of the devil says he's being held captive to do the devil's bidding, do what the devil wants them to do. Paul says when you're released from that, you're no longer under his will. But if a Christian allows the flesh to win long enough, the Bible does say we'll be enslaved again once that which we used to be under. But if we're diligent, then I don't think we're going to have to worry about that. So that's enough about the negative. We'll jump over to the positive part. It says the hand of the diligent will rule. We'll stay in 2 Timothy, and we'll jump over to verse 11. Paul writes, "It is a trustworthy statement. For if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." So Paul gives a bunch of conditional statements here. And I know the world doesn't like conditional statements. They don't like truth. But they rely a bunch on computers and technology, which at its core is all binary. It's all zeros and ones. It's either true or false. There's no other thing. There's no middle ground when it comes to computers. In the same way, Paul says, verse 12, says, "If we endure, if we have diligence, if we overcome, it says we'll also reign with Christ." Let's turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 26. The message to the church of Thyatira writes, says, "He overcomes, and he will keep my deeds until the end." This is someone who's diligent and overcomes and stays faithful to the Lord. The Lord says to him, now listen to this, the Lord says to him, the one that overcomes, I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. Jesus says that he's going to give the Christians that overcome, he's going to allow them to rule with him. That we'll rule with him if we're diligent and we follow and overcome this world. And John ends the scene with, says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Good evening. Your speakers just keep getting older and older and older, and I'm pretty sure that you'd have to take at least two of the guys, add them together to get as old as I am. So, all right, I didn't ask ahead of time. I hope this is okay. Quinn, can I borrow you for a second? Okay, come here, bud. I've got Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there. I'm going to show you something. Okay, you ready? What are these? Yeah, they're coffee pots. Watch this. Your turn. Go ahead. So disappointed in you, Quinn. No, just kidding. Thanks, bud. That's all I needed. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 7. If I can get there, we're going to start here. We'll just start in verse 4 for the sake of time. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So, verse 7 there, of course, is the focus of my few minutes here. And I use the illustration of juggling, because it's not an easy skill. It takes time to learn. You know where I learned it, coincidentally? I learned it in produce. Think about that for a second. That's why all your apples are bruised. When I worked in produce, I learned how to juggle. And I can tell you that the reason that I learned it was because my manager was really good at it. And when we'd be talking, and we were sorting potatoes or lemons or pineapples, I did that once, he juggled, and he'd stand there talking to me, you know, and of course he wasn't really watching me, but he was, you know, watching the juggling, and I, of course, got interested, and I was like, that's really a cool trick. I want to be able to juggle pineapples, which I've never tried pineapples. I've tried cantaloupes, but I can juggle, just, you know, three, can't do any more than that. I never got out of that particular realm. Now, how is this applicable to this? Is Christianity hard? I'm going to say yeah. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've got four kids. Raising kids is hard. And I can tell them all I want you to learn to juggle. But if I don't juggle in front of them, if I don't show them how it's done, if I don't illustrate it for them, if I don't, pardon the expression, live it for them, I'm not going to live juggling, but you get the point. If I don't live it for them, I can hand them the balls all I want and say, figure it out. But how much better are they going to be if I show them how to do it? I think this is what the Lord is getting at. The thing is that Let's jump over to, I'm about out of time. Many verses we could go to. But you know how this works? You know how you keep this in the front of your mind? Do you know how you do this? Do you know how you convince, or if convince is the wrong word, but do you know how you teach your children how to walk in Christ? By doing it yourself. What does Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say? Hopefully those verses are ringing in your ears. What is it that you are being conformed to? How is it that you spend your time? Where are your priorities? What things are important to you? You know, if you're trying to teach a child something, they're watching. Everything you, if you're a parent, everything you do as a parent, your kids watch. And we've never been big as a family on we did it for a while, on trying to do structured, regular, daily devotions. We just never did. And you know what? It's a personal decision. It's up to you. I'm glad we didn't do them. Part of it's because I want my kids to know that this is what's important to us. This is the only way we're really going to pass this on to the next generation, is by being people of the book. Thank you.
Good evening. Please turn over in your Bibles to 2 Peter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Obviously, I have to reiterate what Aiden said. What's the therefore, therefore? I wouldn't start a conversation with somebody and be like, therefore, how's your day? But I'm going to use an example, because the last 2 days, actually, I was out at my parents' house yesterday and all day today. And yes, it was a little chilly, in case you were worried. Thank you. But we were setting a bunch of these, and that's why my dad was talking about building this morning. But we were setting a bunch of these posts. And the ground and all the holes are uneven, so they're obviously going to be different height. All the posts are the same height. They're all the same length. So we have to cut each one of them to have a level top, right? Well, we're going through and we're cutting them all, and you know, we set all of these yesterday, and Drew was out there as well, and he's smiling. And I think we did a pretty good job, and Elijah was as well. He's not smiling. We got done putting up all these posts, and we were like, those are pretty good. And we used a laser for a lot of finding dimensions and whatnot. Well, the problem is it's really hard to see a laser in the daytime. And my dad, he put out a laser at night, and he said, well, we got there today. He's like, well, yeah, they're not all accurate. And we're like, we did all that work, and today it even got worse, because we did even more, and we were like, well, we already messed up a few of them, why not? So there's a bunch to the barn that we're going to be able to see. But why am I saying all of this? Because to be diligent takes a lot of mental energy. And when you work on certain things, and when you design things, and when you go back and you double check, and you know, teaching math, I've learned this, people do not like checking their work. But it is very good, and you have to apply yourself mentally. You have to put some mental energy into it. And I think that's why a lot of people, they avoid it. But I love that Proverbs 12, you know what? If you're not diligent, guess what? You're going to be forced to be working on something. You know what? You might be forced labor. But, you know, we're called to be diligent, and that's something that we need to take heed to. The therefore, what was the therefore, therefore? Because he talks about in verse 10, he says, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling, obviously calling of us and choosing us.
for as long as you practice these things. Well, what was he talking about? Let's go back a little bit. Verse 5, we're going to see the word diligence again. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, and ask yourself, are these mine and are they increasing? Is my moral excellence increasing? Is my brotherly kindness increasing? If these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. That would be somebody who's not diligent, right? A blind, short-sighted person. I don't see what the point of double-checking my work is, Mr. Serrano. Well, you'll see it on the test score. A blind, short-sighted person, he's not going to see this. Having forgotten his purification from his former sins. That's what it looks like. Short-sighted people, they forget what Christ has done for them. What has Christ done for us? Let's go on over to Matthew 22. There are 19 different ways I thought about going with this, but this one seems to work pretty good. The marriage feast, the wedding feast. We reign with Christ, amen? Verse 11, Matthew 22, but when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. He sees all these people, but hey, somebody's not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. He probably took them off. He got in there. What are you doing now? Why don't you have your wedding clothes on? Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The whole word for church, ecclesia, what does it mean? Called out. We are called out of what? We could go to Colossians 1. We're called out of the domain of darkness. We're transferred in the kingdom of his beloved son. We're transferred out of darkness, and let us not be short-sighted, forgetting our former purification of sins. Let's be very diligent in everything we do. Let's double-check our work to make sure that we have the wedding clothes on. Let's keep clothed in Christ. Thank you.
Excellent job, everyone. Thank you. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much for Jesus, that we can see his diligence to carry out your will for his life, O Lord. A couple of the brethren, faithful brethren tonight, gave us an example and definitions of diligent. Sometimes I just picture diligent being sweat dripping off the brow, you know, willing to put in the work. Willing to persevere if it's hot. Willing to see something through all the way to the end. Lord, we've got a great reward waiting for us on the other side. Thank you for that, O Lord. May we be willing to be diligent, to make certain about our calling and choosing. We'd be willing to pass these things through our actions on to others, largely our family, and that we would be willing to do the hard things that it takes to get our spirits to heaven, O Lord. Thank you for those reminders and diligence this evening and for the men who brought that forth. Let's take this on, keeping these thoughts in our mind as we try to take this spiritual mindset on to the rest of this evening and into the rest of our week. Be with us this week. Guide us. May we humble ourselves before you, allowing you to lead our spirit, Lord, and that you watch over our families and bless our labor, Lord, that it be fruitful and glorifying in your sight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our shepherd. Amen.